After we had this nice friendly discussion on house prices, let's have a really unfriendly discussion on the Martian. The claws are coming out.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, and welcome to I Hate Your Movie, a movie podcast where we inflict movies upon each other for your entertainment.
Oh, was it inflicted this time?
This week was my recommendation, and I went with the classic film, The Martian.
Can you call a 10-year-old film classic?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. I mean, you have films that are like instant classics, you know?
That's an oxymoron. That's
instant
not...
classic is fine. Is it? I put like instant classic up there with, you know, when it's a career-defining performance.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a career-defining performance by Pamela Anderson. I don't know.
Neil Breen, career-defining performance. It's technically true.
Yeah, it's completely on brand 100% of the time.
Yeah.
I am not of this earth. I am artificial intelligence from far into the future. I have taken on this human body in order to communicate with the humans.
We watched The Martian starring...
Matt Damon.
Everyone do it all at once, together. Matt Damon. God, he must hate South Park. This won none of its Oscar nominations.
Okay.
But it did win 2 Golden Globes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the Golden Globes it won were for?
Most... celebrities stuffed into a film unnecessarily, and most annoying character.
Okay,
are these Golden Globes?
So it won Best Motion Picture and Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy. So this is quite a controversial thing. So I read the facts on this, and there was literally one fact that was interesting, and it was this one. So the year this went like up for awards, Judd Apatow, famous comedy maker, comedy filmmaker, he protested against it. He was like, absolutely not, it's not a comedy,
it's more a musical than a comedy.
Get it out of my category, kind of thing.
Sure.
And since then the rules have been changed, and no longer can you have like comedic elements in a drama, mm-hmm. and have that count. It has to be like a comedy.
Okay. I really want to say something, but I'm just kind of saving it.
Okay. So yeah, it was 2015. It's only 2.5 hours long, which I'm sure will come up later.
Yes.
In various different ways.
It's in my one sentence review.
I knew it would be. So, Mr. Prim.
Yes, hello.
What did you think of this film? Then what is your one sentence review?
My one sentence review is, it starts with a question. Do you have that effect in your life where you remember negative experiences more than positive ones? I feel like it's pretty common.
Yes, good anxiety.
Well, I remember every single second of this 2.5 hour film. Every single second.
Yeah.
Every single excruciating second. I hated it.
Yeah?
I hate it so much.
Aww.
Two reasons. Well, two big reasons. Lots of little ones. It is too long and predictable and boring. You know, if you don't know the story, Matt Damon is stuck on Mars.
Yep.
The rest of the team went away because they thought he died. And then throughout like minute 5 to an hour and 45 minutes in, they decide to... fucking turn around. That whole time I was like, when are they turning around? When are they turning around? When are they turning around? The second biggest reason.
Again. The tension in your voice. It's... So, to give you guys a little bit of context, I've not been feeling very well. So we watched this film 2 weeks ago.
Ish, yeah.
Normally we watch and we record a couple days later once it's all sunk in. I feel like Dad has like 2 weeks of pent-up anger and frustration.
I did.
You can really hear it in his voice.
I got Martian blue balls. This is like something that you question me about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is revenge in a way. What's funny? What are you laughing at? All the time, he's like, Matt Damon's like, yeah, it's science, bitch. Science, motherfucker. And then you're like, ha, 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 ha. What's funny about that?
Because he's making light of the fact that he's in this very deadly situation.
He's just swearing.
No.
There's nothing funny about this.
I think you're misremembering. I don't think he swears that much. I think one time he says, I'm going to science the shit out of this.
Yeah, things like that. And it is, all throughout, it is that. It's his terrible comedy, quote unquote, which is just like, I'm in a situation, you know, and let's laugh.
The only thing I can like compare it to that comes to mind, and I'm sure there are hundreds of other examples, it's like in Avengers, you know, the first Avengers where the big space lizard comes through the hole and Iron Man, he's flying around the building because he says, I'm going to bring the party to you. And he travels around the corner and the big freaking slug thing's following him through the sky. And Black Widow looks at the sky and goes, I don't think that's a party. You know, it's that kind of humor. It's kind of like these incredibly horrible things are happening and you can do two things. You can cry about it or you can laugh about it. And he's trying to laugh about it.
Here's the crucial difference.
Okay.
In Avengers, there's more things to laugh at and there's more things to see and more enjoyment in the film. And this is just Matt Damon alone making terrible jokes. This is 2.5 hours of this. I'm in this situation. Oh no. Clap, audience, please. Oh, it's just awful. And I want to say, I hate Matt Damon on film. I don't know him personally. In fact, the only thing I know from him personally is that he attended like a teachers union thing and defended teachers.
Okay.
So he must be like a really great guy. But it's like how the camera adds 10 pounds. The camera takes away all his charisma. He's just, I don't know. I can't watch him.
One of the only people I've ever met that thinks that.
Me and Matt Stone and Dre Parker. So yeah.
Okay.
It was unbearable. It was unbearable. It was unbearable. I couldn't believe it, how bad it was. I mean, it was a well-made movie, but like just those things, I couldn't deal with it.
But like going into it, knowing that most of the stuff in this film is fairly scientifically accurate, does that not make it more interesting to you? Because that's what carried it through for me. Like when he plants the potatoes in the soil with all that kind of stuff, they've tried that. And it works.
Mm-hmm. What, they tried that on Mars?
Well, they haven't tried it on Mars, but they've tried it like with simulated conditions.
I've got questions.
In a lab.
It kept my interest up, but mostly in terms of more questions that it created than it answered. Because, yes, you need like manure to grow something, for minerals and stuff. But don't you need also the Earth itself to have like, you know, soil, you know? Because on Earth, there's soil that you can't grow anything. You can't just go into the desert and just scraping lines and start pooping potatoes out, you know? Like, and that's what really, you know, when he does his little experiment of, he does this circle that's like self-contained. And then he starts scraping the soil. The reason for that is on Earth is to like get the more mineral rich wet soil up, I think.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
I grew up on a farm, so. But I fucked it up, so. I've got 0.1% more knowledge about this. You know, he just draws a line in the sand that doesn't bring anything up.
But it's not sand, is it? It's like dirt.
Dirt, but it's not earth dirt. It doesn't have anything in it.
I don't know, to be honest with you. All I know is I didn't think it was particularly interesting at the time, but there was in the trivia that it's possible.
Mm. If it was possible, then it could be done in the desert.
No, it's different.
How?
Because dirt is different than sand.
Science.
Sand is rocks. Sand is tiny rocks, whereas dirt is, like, I don't know, something else. Thanks for joining the I Hate Your Movie science podcast, where we know loads about stuff.
I think dirt is also tiny, tiny rocks, like, no, it's silicon.
Definitely not, because you can get clay out of dirt, and you can get...
Clay.
You know, you can get minerals.
Yeah.
And you know... I think that's it. I think there's the minerals in the dirt.
Yeah.
Fact check. Sand is essentially just a single component of dirt, meaning sand is made up of small, loose particles of rock, while dirt is a mixture of sand, silt, clay, and organic matter, making it a more complex composition with the ability to support plant life. Essentially, sand is a primary building block of dirt, but not the whole thing.
Maybe they took the Mars has some water into consideration, mm-hmm. and maybe the water helps it a bit.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Wikipedia article?
No.
Because I do.
Yeah.
As a true nerd.
I hate Matt Damon. Wikipedia. No.
So my favorite Wikipedia page of all time, top number one.
Okay.
This is controversial, but chronology of discoveries of water on Mars.
I've heard of this before.
Because NASA comes out every 1.5 years to 1 year and says they discovered water on Mars since the 70s. People think it's like a PR thing when they need like more funding. They mm-hmm. just want to be in the news a bit. So they just re-announce again that they found water on Mars.
There are inaccuracies.
Yes.
Like massive inaccuracies. The biggest one is the sandstorm at the start.
Yes.
Because you don't have much atmosphere on Mars. The worst the storm would get would be like a light breeze.
Yeah.
So
should we do science corner?
Science corner.
I got questions
yeah.
that I haven't looked into.
Oh, cool.
But I thought we could discuss it.
Yeah. Of our wealth of knowledge of astrobotany.
When this is also the movie thing. So like when Matt Damon comes back all injured and everything, he has this little antenna that he does very painful expositions to the camera to spell everything out to the dumb audience. And he's like, I'm a botanist. And he holds up his PhD. He's like, look, I'm a botanist. Get it? I'm a botanist. I can grow shit potatoes. Anyway, he says, oh, I don't have communication with Earth because I broke this antenna broke. And he holds up this like tiny plastic thing that's just broken antenna. In half. It's like, that's it. You have like a whole manned mission on Mars and you don't have redundancies.
I don't think you're remembering that correctly. An antenna broke off into him, but that wasn't his communication antenna.
No, he shows it up to the camera.
He has an antenna, but it's...
No, he says, that's when he says the communication thing. So it's implied that that's the antenna.
I never got that for even for a second.
Okay. I think if we have a manned mission on Mars,
mm-hmm.
this is my pitch to President Elon Musk, my liege. If we have a manned mission on Mars, first thing you should do is like build a radio tower there.
Okay.
To establish communications with Earth. There's no reason to take that home with you because you can use that in later missions.
You'd use it even though it's miles away.
Yeah, there would be some delay, but that would be already some delay because Earth is far away.
So you'd leave a whole power device, a radio tower, you'd leave everything in this abandoned area.
Yeah, because radio towers work remotely.
On Earth they do.
On Mars they do as well, because radio waves are same everywhere.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even through the radiation of Mars?
Yeah.
Do you know, I'm just, you answered that so confidently, I was just going to stop asking questions.
Well, in the next movie, that's one of the plot points, the next movie we watch, so
mm-hmm.
I don't want to spoil it yet, but...
Fine.
Fact check. Yes, radio waves can function on Mars, meaning that spacecraft on the Martian surface can send and receive radio signals to and from Earth, although the thin Martian atmosphere can sometimes disrupt radio communication, particularly during solar flares, and the signal strength can be affected by the planet's distance from Earth, causing significant delays in transmission time.
Still, they took all their communication stuff with them.
Yeah.
It's the same with, like, the moon, you know. They took everything they could off the moon.
Next science question. why are they sending a botanist to Mars?
For the exact reason of, can you plant crops?
But what's he doing that? What's he doing that on Mars?
Yes.
Okay.
I assumed that's why they took the potatoes. Because potatoes are heavy. You wouldn't put them in there for any other reason.
It said, like, don't open till Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And see, I remember all this shit. So I think it was just a special little thing. It wasn't meant to be, like, special astronaut food. When he got his suit pierced.
Yep.
Because those suits need to be pressurized.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't, you know...
It does say that.
Does a little antenna, you know, leave a perfect hole and also plug in the hole?
It does say that in the film.
But how?
So the film says
yeah.
that it pierced him like narrowly and his blood
mm-hmm.
pulled out and then that there's liquid, so you can't get air from okay. liquid. And it dried, so
mm-hmm.
then it, there you go.
I was hoping like his face starts swelling up and blowing up like Arnold in Total Recall. Big question, and this is both sciencey and kind of real life realistic.
Okay.
Would people really spend this much money to rescue a guy? It's crazy the amount of lengths they go to.
I mean, it is a good question.
I wouldn't think so. Because there's precedence for this, kind of. When they did the Apollo missions to the moon, when Stanley Kubrick was filming it, Nixon, who was president at the time, had a speech of what happens if they die up there, if they get stuck up there. They gave their life to the mission and things like that. Like, they didn't know what the fuck's going to happen.
Yeah, it's a good question because, I mean, it's about having the ability to rescue someone. So if people got stuck on the moon, there was nothing else. You couldn't send anything. You didn't have spaceships in the air floating around ready to swing around the Earth and come back. So I think that's a little bit different.
Still loads of money. If they blow up the first thing they want to send, or derail it or whatever happens, that's millions of dollars.
Yeah.
If not more, like hundreds of millions probably. Labor, everything included. Then they turn back the other people, or they go back on their own. But that's also inflates the budget a lot. And then they
get the Chinese to resupply the ship.
The Chinese to resupply the ship. There's 2.5 more trips to Mars.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It is crazy. I don't know is the answer. Again, it's mentioned in the film.
Well, they talk about it a little bit. I was thinking if I would have more fun in this movie if that was the whole focus. Of it would be like... I feel like that was a missed opportunity. It could have been like a cool, it's like a moral movie of like people constantly arguing what to do.
Yeah, so I mean, again, in the facts that weren't very interesting, I didn't think it was very interesting at first, but it raises your point. You know, the main NASA guy, he was like a villain in one draft of the script.
Yeah.
Where he was kind of like, no, I'm the head of NASA and we only have a limited budget. We can't spend all this money on one person.
He was kind of like that anyway.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
They really toned it down. But yeah, in one of the drafts, it was literally, he was kind of like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the antagonist of the film.
That's hilarious. Because one of my notes is, who do you agree with? Because he was like that in the movie, kind of. Mm-hmm. He was more conservative, let's say, about getting this guy back. And then everyone else was like, yeah, let's go get him. So who do you agree with?
I'm going to skirt the line between both arguments.
Yeah.
I think it's worth going to get him because of the data that he has...
Accrued.
Oh, yeah, accrued, that's a good word. Because he's planted crops and he's lived there and he's... I don't know how many days it was in the end, Seoul.
It's 500 something.
Yeah. That's 2 years worth of data on living on Mars.
That's a good point. But I would probably go with the no.
Yeah.
Because... And it's just like, it's so funny because we're so reversed on this all the time. Because, I'm more usually with the hopeful, yeah, let's do it. But like, this is like, I can see all the points against it. And I know that like astronauts train for, you know, shit goes down, they're going to die. They know that, especially since the Challenger thing happened. Did you have Sesame Street here?
We did, but I never watched it.
We watched it. You know Big Bird, right?
Yeah, yeah, I knew Big
Bird. You know the Challenger explosion? So in the 80s, 90s, something? Yeah, they were supposed to send up like an orbiting thing. A few people and a teacher, just a regular teacher, to space. We're opening it up to the public. And it exploded on the tarmac. Mm-hmm. Or whatever it was, launch pad. And they were supposed to send, instead of the teacher, one of the plans was they send up Big Bird. Can you imagine? They explode Big Bird. So ever since then, astronauts are trained for like, you just have to accept if you're going to die, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is one of those kinds of missions where like, you just have to accept it. It's just, you signed up for this, you know. So I'm more agree with the bad guy in this movie. Don't get him. He's not funny. He's not worth it.
How much of that is just your feelings on Matt Damon and wishing that he was left on Mars?
I don't know. You decide. No, I think it is such a crazy, and like the movie portrays it so hopefully. Like if this would have happened in real life, the Chinese wouldn't give a fucking shit about an American guy rotting on the moon or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They would not. It's so funny. That part of it is so funny to me. It's like when the assistant comes into the Chinese guy's like, they have someone stranded on Mars. We gotta do something. As much as the science was accurate, that was hilarious in this.
Fact check. China does not give a single shit about United States astronauts.
the big winds.
Yeah.
Like, don't they have like some sort of meteorology? Like, we know so much about Mars right now.
Yeah.
How can they get caught up in a big tornado thing?
Because they were tracking it. They were tracking it as a storm, and it intensified and intensified, and it came towards them, and that's how they escaped in the end, because they saw it coming.
It wouldn't have been easier just to wait it out, because a few things broke, but it was mostly outside. All that structure that they built was standing still.
See, for someone who claims to remember this film scene for scene, you don't, because there's a whole thing about how the wind's going to push over the launcher. And if it doesn't, if it goes over, they're all stranded there.
Oh, I don't.
And it's a whole thing as they're in the launcher, and there's a whole like tippy scale thing, and it's like 10 degrees, 11 degrees. Captain, if it goes over 13 degrees, we're going to fall over. 14 degrees.
Captain, I cannot hold it. That's my Scotty impression.
That's your Jessica Chastain impression.
Yeah.
It's your Sebastian Stan impression.
Captain, I can't hold it. I can't take it. Hey, the original guy was also have a terrible Scottish accent, so it works perfectly. He wasn't Scottish.
So yeah, it explains it in the film. It's a massive scene in it.
I guess I don't remember that, but...
Let's talk about celebrities.
Oh my lord.
So, I've literally never seen a film in my entire life with so many famous people. And I mean famous people. Yeah. I don't mean like, oh, I know that guy from a place. That someone on the screen, you're like, why, that's Michael Peña. That's Rooney Mara, whatever her name is. You know, that's Jessica Chastain, Sebastian Stan, Childish Gambino, Sean Penn, Wong, freaking
Michael
Sean Penn, Sean Bean.
Sean Bean, sorry
yeah.
Michael Bean. Yeah, I mean, why?
Yeah, for like really small roles.
Really small roles. And it's so distracting, because every time there's a new scene, a new celebrity shows up and they contribute something, but that could have been like a dialogue given to someone else, usually, you know? Like, I don't know why there's so many characters to begin with in this. A lot of them are so useless.
Yeah, like you could literally have put anyone in Benedict Wong's place, and it wouldn't.
You could have combined Sean Bean's character and Chiwetel Ejiofor's character, and that lady who just Chiwetel Ejiofor just follows around. She's famous as well.
Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig. So all those three people, just combine them, make them one character.
Well, I don't know, because Chiwetel Ejiofor and Sean Bean have slightly different views on everything.
Do they?
I think so. Yeah.
I thought they were on the same.
I think Chitwell comes from a more PR point of view, whereas Sean Bean is more like a moral point of view.
Okay.
I don't think it's Sean Bean's job to care about the public, whereas Chitwell's is like, gotta present this properly.
I thought that was more the NASA director guy, who was like worried about the PR of it.
Well, he just didn't want to do it, really.
He didn't want to do it, but he didn't want it to leak so that it looks bad, you know? I don't know. I've just...
See, but even like the crew of the original mission.
Except one guy. He just wandered into set.
Axel Henny. Okay, here's a question for you. Axel Henny or Alex Vogel? Which one of them is the character? Which one of them is the...
Henny sounds more movie.
No.
Okay.
No, that is... Henny is his name.
Okay.
But yeah, he's just there. He is literally standing there next to Sebastian Stan, the Winter Soldier.
And Rooney Mara.
Kate Mara. Kate Mara. He's standing next to Michael Peña, Ant-Man's sidekick. He's standing there next to Jessica Chastain, dinosaur wrangler. He's like,
oh my God, I made it. And he's never seen again. Has anyone ever been famous by omission? This is that guy. He's famous because he stands out from all the famous. It's weird.
Crazy how many like famous people are in this. And it, like you say, it genuinely is distracting. Like when they wake up Childish Gambino to be science nerd.
Yeah.
It's just, you're like, it's just so distracted by, I couldn't hear anything he was saying.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to anything he was saying, and all in my head was like, yeah, oh no.
For me, it was Sean Bean. I was like, why is he in this movie?
My favourite bit about Sean Bean is when they held the council. Do you know what? That is in the book.
Sure, but...
That is in the book, so...
Just talk about distracting of that. There's like 100 celebrities in a room. I'm exaggerating. There's 15 celebrities in that room around the table, and Sean Bean is on the top, and they're talking about the Council of Elrond. Just like, how can you even concentrate on a movie at that point? It's like jingling a key from the baby or something. Look at this. Well, what was weird in the whole movie, I think, is that there's all these people, all these NASA scientists and directors and specialists, but there's like no one who's like Matt Damon's family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what I was thinking when at first they show a room with Sean Bean in it and he's in the center. I was like, what the fuck? Why is he in there? And for 5 minutes, he doesn't say anything. He just like slouched over and he kind of like in a jacket and he's not like in a NASA uniform. I thought he's going to be his dad.
Okay.
And he's going to be like, get home, my son. I want my son. I was like, a movie needed something like that, I think. It's a bit Hollywood, but it just needed something, some sort of human connection.
I disagree.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. And you will find out how much I disagree on our next episode.
Wow.
But yeah, I disagree. I think it's a problem-solving thing. And I think it's just distracting to be like, oh, your sister's here and your nephew wants to say hello.
What I wish this movie was, I wish they would have beefed up the morality of it, of getting him back.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, in that equation, would have been helpful to have like a family member who's like emotional about it and wants him to return and makes good arguments for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, it was just very cold and whatever, you know. Like, might as well make a documentary. Remember our joke during the movie? We were catching up. There's lots of celebrities. Mm-hmm. It's like, what if Matt Damon goes out to Mars and then a Martian shows up, played by Johnny Depp. That's the titular Martian. When they were launching the failure mission, that felt a bit unrealistic to me.
Yeah.
Because it reaches the atmosphere and it dies or it derails or whatever. But I don't know. We have 70, 60 years of experience how to launch things into space.
Mm-hmm.
Usually where things fail is like the Challenger, which is just, it's like some heating panel that broke or something, and it just, the whole thing just blows up. Or on return, because that's the really tricky part, usually the landing. So it just felt weird to me that they just
I don't know. I've seen recently, I say recently, a few years ago, like Tesla rockets blow up in midair.
Well,
I hate Tesla rockets, not Tesla rockets, it's SpaceX. SpaceX rockets are the pinnacle of, you know, space engineering. So you can't be like, wow, you know, just because Elon Musk's a...
Yahtzee, the game America loves to play.
Crazy person. That must mean that all of his rockets are default.
Well,
then no, that's not how it works.
Yeah, but they're a private company and they're cutting costs. I think NASA has a pretty perfect track record of sending things into space in the last 60 years. I think that has the least amount of variables because we know the Earth's rotation, we know how much fuel you need to use, how many you need to overcome gravity. It was just weird to me, you know. I felt like it would have been more realistic if it just blows up immediately because that has track record, you know.
Yeah, but they did skip the safety checks. There was like a month's worth of safety checks and he was like, no, skip them, don't worry about it.
Okay.
They vote to see if they're going to get him. Okay, so let's address that quickly. I feel like we need to address the idea that they spent like 2 months not going to get him and then they suddenly decided they were going to go get him.
Yeah.
The crew didn't know. The crew weren't told he was alive for the best part of 3 months.
I don't mind that from a inside universe logic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that in a filmmaking way, you know?
Okay.
Where it's clearly the solution. And, you know, any person in the first 5 minutes is, why don't they go back for him?
Because that's not how space travel works, though, is it, really? If you're on a spaceship traveling back from Mars, you can't just pull a U-turn and go back.
They did.
Well, eventually.
But what I'm saying is, you're arguing movie logic inside movie. I'm arguing, like, screenwriter logic, which is, like, you're following... Mr. Not Funny on Mars. You're following NASA and you're following the return crew. Why are you following the return crew? Oh, they're going to turn back. That's what I mean, you know? Mm-hmm. What they should have done, I think, they just completely cut that out, their little return journey. They cut that out, save Bill's time in this fucking movie. And then it's a surprise when they're like, oh shit, they're still up there, you know? Mm-hmm. By that time, the audience would have forgot about that, you know? It's yeah. I mean like that, you know? Because the whole time, they keep cutting back to like... They're playing ping pong or whatever, and they're doing the crossword puzzles, and we have to watch all that, knowing that they're gonna turn back. And it's just like watching paint dry.
I think it works if you keep it in, if you show some kind of emotional response from them. Oh my god, we've left our colleague to die. Oh my god, he died. Or maybe they hold like a kind of funeral or something, and you give it a reason to keep cutting back to them. But like you say, it cuts back to them and the guys are sitting there reading a book.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, what now?
Yeah. You could have still done that like in an hour and a half in as a surprise. You know, it's been a bit Hollywood and hokey, but, you know, they're holding the funeral. They're sending his, I don't know, top 100 dad jokes book out of space or whatever as a memento of him. And then, you know, they get a call. He's alive. I almost want this movie to be more Hollywood. Because I want the family. I want the things. Because I was just...
You're describing the film Armageddon.
Almost. But it could be still scientifically accurate. But, you know, films are meant to elicit emotion, not boredom.
Well, of anyone that's seen this film, you're the only one that's been very bored by it.
It's 2.5 hours.
It's 2.5 hours of awesomeness.
It's 2.5 hours of celebrities showing up every corner.
It's the Oscars. It's the space Oscars. One thing I will agree with you on, right?
One thing
that's kind of... And I don't even know if this is something that you found as well, but I found it pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end of the film where, like, the whole world is watching.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the whole world, like, you got people absolutely crammed into Times Square looking at the screens. Like, people don't have phones these days and or TV screens in their homes. Everyone would gather in Times Square. No, they wouldn't. Shut up. You know, those times are over. And it's, like, the same in China. It's the same in, like, Piccadilly Circus. Everyone's sitting there watching the thing. And the music starts to swirl. And it's, like, it really starts to kind of try and build tension. Like, is he going to make it? Isn't he going to? He's going to make it. Come on, like. It's not that kind of film where he just dies at the end.
I would love that. When in space, they just have to touch and they just miss him and he just flows out to empty space. I was like, oops. Yeah, I felt like that was unrealistic because that NASA director would never let that be shown live.
Yeah, exactly.
Never. Like, no matter how much he's convinced, there's too much risk of him just fucking dying on live. So that would never be publicized. The rescue mission live anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe after the fact.
Yeah. But yeah, I found that to be like, that was the bit I was cringing the most. Yeah. I was like, dad's going to hate this.
And
so
all
much.
Over the world as well.
Yeah.
Which was, reminded me, one of my favorite moments in Rocky IV. You wouldn't expect, but Rocky IV, I love Rocky franchise. It's brilliant and terrible as well. But the terrible Rocky IV, he's, you know, he's fighting the big Soviet killing machine. And then by the end he boxes so good that the Soviets starts cheering for him. That's what I felt like when the Chinese were like, yeah, America, yeah, we're on your side now because you rescued this guy. We love America. Oh my god, my least favorite moment in this film.
Okay,
my least favorite moment, and we talked about this during the film.
Is it where they put a bomb on the front of the multi-billion pound spaceship and to slow it down?
Well, by then it was ridiculous anyway, so whatever. I just wanted it to be over. So
I'm excited.
So return journey.
Yep.
They get the news that he's there and they want to turn around. And then Jessica Chastain lays out the plan. This is what we do. That's what we do. And Kate Mara supports that with some more scientific information.
Yep.
Michael Peña said, English, please. He's a fucking astronaut. What do you mean? Even I understood what they were talking about. What the fuck do you mean? In English, please.
I think we've established throughout the film that each person in the mission has their own specialty. Like, the botanist isn't going to understand astro navigation terms.
I think they do, though. I think at least basics, they teach them basics in terms of emergencies.
And I don't know what Michael Peña's job was.
Navigation. Because he was the one aligning the ships and stuff. When Mark Watney was just like floating in space, he was like calculating the little odds of how they can reattach to the ship.
Okay.
He was the one saying like, oh, we need more. When they did the bomb thing, he was the one saying, oh, we need to slow down because we're coming too fast. So yeah, in English, please. Fuck you. Fuck you, movie. How dare you? How dare you do this to our brave astronauts? Has there ever been a British astronaut?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know though.
Has there been a bit Brits in space?
I think so.
So it should be a movie, Brits in space.
Brits in space. Michael Caine in space.
Yeah, send him up.
Do it.
Send up his old bones.
Do it. Just the bit, you know, where like they slow down the ship with a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
And you know what? That's the first thing he says in the movie. You didn't even know he was there. Like, Michael Caine, I can't believe you're here.
He's just sitting in the NASA headquarters with a headset on. You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
I kept waiting when they keep showing the giant NASA control room and there's people with the things. I kept waiting for one of those people to be famous. And there's a few of them that talk. I was like, they should have been someone. And I feel like an engineer would come up with a more, and I do mean the NASA people right now, not Mark or the people on the ship, but I think people on the ground would come up with a more elegant solution of just blind shooting him into space with the you know, with a tarp on.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get it. It's supposed to be exciting and all that. But I felt like, you know, scientists would come up with something. Engineers would come up with something.
I think you've got to just do the best with what you've got.
Mm.
You know, you've only got a limited amount of things to do.
It's true.
It's like the scene in Apollo 13, you know? No?
No.
So there's something wrong with their air thing or their water thing. And so NASA gathers everything that would be in the ship. And it's bits of plastic and little roll of tape and that kind of thing. And they have to build it in, you know. So yeah, the engineers hopefully would come up with like, oh yeah, here's a spare part. But it doesn't work like that. You just kind of do the best of what you've got.
Yeah, it just didn't feel like elegant. It felt very like brute force for all the money involved and all the people involved, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like an engineer would come up with an elegant solution instead of this like brute forcing it. This is the solution I would come up with. It's just shoot into fucking space. You don't need to put the suit on. Just hold your breath. But like engineers are, you know, amazing. And they always come up with these like weird outside of the box ideas. So I don't know. Just felt a bit underwhelmed at the end. The Martian! In cinemas now. The last thing to say is that I want a sequel where Mark Watney returns to Uranus. Well, if you hear rain, that's rain. Ting, 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 ting.
Cool. Right. That was The Martian. What would you give it out of 10, Dan?
0 out of 10, no Martian.
Zero!
Just because there's no Martian.
Okay. He's the Martian. He was the Martian.
Oh, yeah, see? 10 out of 10. I only care about the title accuracy.
On filmmaking alone.
It was nicely filmed. That's it.
Okay.
I would have liked to see 2.5 hours of Mars footage rather than this. I would just watch Mount Olympus, the biggest mountain on Mars. Nothing happens for 2.5 hours. I'd rather watch that. I don't know. My enjoyment was 2 out of 10.
Okay.
Filmmaking, it's a 7 out of 10. What's the average of that?
Like a 5? You can't give it a 5. That's a rewatch. Well, in my
score, well, in your score, it's not. It's not mine. Yeah, 4 out of 10.
Yeah,
this feels right. Yeah.
Okay.
It's well made, but it's just such a missed opportunity in lots of little ways. What's your rating?
Oh, my rating is like a 6.
Okay. Wow.
I did think about giving it a 7 just to troll you.
That low, huh?
Well, it's a high 6.
To be more excited about it.
I am very excited about it. I really like this film.
Okay.
I think it's unique.
Mm-hmm.
I think it stands kind of with Castaway, where the large majority of the film is centered about one guy and his struggle to survive on a, in like this, you know,
I thought that movie was about a guy who fucks a ball. As we established in our quiz.
Cool, so yeah, before the rain gets even any worse. What are we watching next?
What are we watching next? Well,
we definitely haven't already watched.
We definitely already have. We're watching, it's my last Road to Seven movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Based on that reaction, maybe I shouldn't have said
this
that.
This is your last Road to Seven movie.
Okay. For now. Got ideas, but as you said in an episode, is that you might as well just go blind. So blind guess would be more accurate, but I think it's a nice companion to this movie. It's another science-y kind of movie. It's called Contact, 1997. It features, who's that lady?
Jodie Foster.
It features Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey, and it's written by a scientist man.
It is. It's written by Carl Sagan.
It features one of my favorite special effects ever recorded on camera, and it's a very subtle thing, very tiny subtle thing, but I love it.
Cool. Right, see you next time.
Subscribe, share, rescue us from the rain. bye.
And I just want to say thank you for making it happen. Thank you. Happy.